What's the priority for you when deciding who to vote for in an election? Is it what the candidate thinks about important issues, or is it who the candidate is? Now, come on, be honest now, because even today, in some places, when an LGBT person runs for office, they are met with a hostile reaction by people who object to their lifestyle choices. Nevertheless, we are seeing an increase of LGBT people run for office in New Jersey as well as elsewhere. Our next guest heads an organization that guides these people through the campaign process. She is the president and CEO of the Victory Fund, Anise Parker. Thanks for being here today, Anise.
Glad to be with you, and happy to talk about the subject.
Definitely. Victoryfund.org is the website. When you think of, I mean, we're in the 21st century, and you look at percentages, numbers, population, demographics, et cetera, the number of LGBT people that are in our country versus the number that are in public office, there's a huge imbalance, isn't there?
There is, and I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I think, you know, LGBT people have been running for office forever, but they're relatively recently have been coming out and been open about their sexual orientation when they run. In the first person elected to office, Kathy Kosachinko in Ann Arbor was just in the mid-70s. So, as the world is, more and more of us come out, and the reception is getting better every year. I was elected to office 9 times in Houston. I'm the former mayor of Houston, and I was first elected in 1997, and I could see the difference in how people responded to me in 97 versus in 2009 when I was first elected mayor.
Well, I guess that's the difference, too, of when someone goes into office or runs for office. Are you going to be a gay politician or a politician for the gay community? I guess that's what people find as the misunderstanding or the point of objection.
And that's something that our candidates get asked regularly. And what we tell them, and as an organization, we train candidates. That's part of our mission, is that if you just represent the LGBT community, do something else. And if all you care about is LGBT issues, then do something else. That's not what we want as an organization. That's not what anybody wants to vote for. But what we want as American citizens is people who are open and honest and transparent about who they are, what their values are, and what their plans are for whatever position they're running for. We're telling people something about whether we may have empathy for outsiders, and we are saying, look, this is who I am, and I'm going to be honest about this. I'm going to be honest about other things, and people respond to that. No one wants someone who is an LGBT candidate for office. They want candidates for office with integrity and ideas, and the fact that they may also be LGBTQ is part of the resume.
And in a way, it's what you want a person in political office to be, someone to serve all the community as opposed to someone who is not part of a fraction of a community and doesn't understand them.
Well, yeah, and Victory is a national organization that is dedicated to helping LGBT people achieve public office, because in addition to believing we need great public servants, we also believe that the LGBT community needs visible role models. And so while we tell our candidates that no one is going to vote for you just LGBT, but if you're capable of or be open to your message. Every year, more and more of our candidates run, and every year, more and more of our candidates achieve. We are currently about 3% of elected officials, which is a very low percentage. If the U.S. population has about 4.5% LGBT-identified folks, then we need to elect some 23,000 more people than the 700 that are currently serving in office. So there's a lot of work to do, but if you match your district, if you have good ideas, if you're qualified, it is not an impediment to be openly LGBT.
Talking with Anais Parker, who is the president and CEO of the Victory Fund. VictoryFund.org is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Looking at some of the stats, too, New Jersey has 8 openly gay mayors. U.S. Congress has 10 members who are LGBT. Of course, Mayor Pete from South Bend, Indiana, he's in the top 3, some polls, top 5 overall, really, when you look at the 23 Democratic presidential hopefuls. And again, here in New Jersey, in the township is Interlaken, which is just north of Asbury Park. There was actually a Republican mayor who was openly gay. That's not a common occurrence, but I guess it shows that there is unanimity about among the LGBT community that no matter who you are, maybe the mayor of Interlaken is one of those politicians who found a way to connect with a community who you would not think would be in favor of him, whatever the bias or the prejudice might happen to be. But he's in his third term now.
There isn't a partisan way to do local government. There's no partisan way to pick up trash or fill puddles, nor is there an LGBT way to do that. What voters want results, and particularly at the local level. When you're in the partisan levels of government, the state government, federal government, it becomes much harder to just focus on the job and not care about partisan affiliation. For the most part, at the local level of government, no one knows what your partisan affiliation is anyway, unless you happen to tell them. And it really doesn't matter. It only really then as you move up, and particularly at the mayoral level, you'd be hard-pressed to tell from the way mayors govern what their party affiliation is. And you definitely really can't tell what anyone's sexual orientation is from the way they govern. Every year, the issues around LGBT candidates for office become less and less important. In 2018, there was what we call a rainbow wave of candidates. But there was a surge of first-time candidates like America's never seen before in 2018. Great candidates, great ideas, very little experience. A lot of them new to the political process, never run for office before. We identified more than 700 out LGBT candidates. There were probably more. Those are the only ones we found. More than 700. As an organization, we engaged half of them and ended up endorsing in 274 races. Our candidates won. We didn't endorse all of them because we didn't think they were viable. But our candidates won at 64% rate. So it shows if you have a good candidate and good ideas, you can get elected.
It's surprisingly simple and easy. A lot of people will be surprised how easy it is in New Jersey, for example. You can get on a ballot, depending on the office you're running for, with as few as 25 to 50 signatures on a petition to launch a candidacy. Now, as far as the work of the Victory Fund, do you help that launching, or once a candidate has launched the campaign, do you come in and fine-tune, direct, and aid them in knowledge and direction?
We have two organizations, actually. We are the LGBTQ Victory Fund and the Victory Institute, and the fund is an endorsing PAC. The Institute does candidate trainings, among other things. And so we do candidate boot camp, essentially. Someone who thinks they're running for office, we ask them to sign up for a 4-day intensive class in how to run for office.
And that's certainly a great teammate to have for any member of the LGBT community who is seeking to run for public office, because you just have to accept going into the situation that you will have to overcome bias and prejudice by some, not by all, but by some, in order to get your message out for whatever office you are choosing to run for. So to learn more about the work of the Victory Fund and the programs that they offer for a member of the LGBT community who is seeking to run for public office, visit their website, VictoryFund.org. We've been talking with their president and CEO, Anais Parker.